Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, July the 31st, 2017. We're so happy to have you with us again. We have been away for a while, but God has blessed, and we're here. Starting today, we will be going forward day by day. So share that information, if you can, with those with whom you come in contact. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessings. We thank you for all that you continue to do for us day by day. We thank you for how you continue to lead us step by step. As we continue today, we ask for your guidance and for the strength that you only can provide. And we thank you in advance for all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been dealing with the book of Numbers in our past sessions, going all the way back to the 10th of July. And we've gotten as far as chapter 23 when we were taking a look at that. One of the things that we recognized is that, of course, that story of Balaam and Balak's request to curse the children of Israel, we recognize that that is similar to what Satan tries to do to God's people today. And so today, as we take a look at Numbers chapter 24, we're going to continue with that context, starting at verse 1. That's Numbers chapter 24, starting at verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his parable, and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, and having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel! As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of light alone which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the water. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, Spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that shall I speak. And now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the word of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sesh. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek, said the first, was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites, and took up his parable and said, Strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy next in a rock. Nevertheless the Kenite shall be wasted, until Ashur shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, Alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Shittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam arose up, and went, and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. What a powerful chapter, chapter 24 is. It shows the beginning of the last blessing that Balaam lays upon the children of Israel, in spite of the fact that he had been encouraged to curse them, promised much to curse them, but could not. Not only does the chapter deal with that blessing, but it also deals with the fact that God placed in the mouth of Balaam the future that would take place against the enemies of the kingdom of God. It is an amazing thing, and it is so symbolic of the power of God. Those who seek to destroy, those who seek to curse, those who seek to place upon a great burden upon the people of God, find that their actions are taken from them and used by God as a blessing to his people. On two previous occasions before this, Jehovah had put words into Balaam's mouth. And you go back and look at chapter 23, verse 5 and 16. The same experience later came to Saul's messengers. And it came also to Saul himself. And it shows us that when the need arises, God may use even an evil person to bear a true message. God may speak to a man directly, or he might speak in a dream, or he might speak in a messenger. But notice that in spite of all that Satan had tried to do through Balak and then through Balaam, the blessings of God were poured out upon his people. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 449 and paragraph 1 says, The great magician had tried his power of enchantment in accordance with the desire of the Moabites. But concerning this very occasion, it should be said of Israel, What hath God wrought? While they were under the divine protection, no people or nation, though aided by the all-powerful evil of Satan, should be able to prevail against them. All the world should wonder at the marvelous work of God in behalf of his people, that a man determined to pursue a sinful course should be so controlled by divine power as to utter, instead of imprecations or curses, the richest and most precious promises in the language of sublime and impassioned poetry. And the favor of God at this time, manifested toward Israel, was to be an assurance of his protecting care for his obedient, faithful children in all ages. When Satan should inspire evil men to misrepresent, harass, and destroy God's people, this very occurrence would be brought to their remembrance and would strengthen their courage and their faith in God. The king of Moab, disheartened and distressed, exclaimed, Neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Yet a faint hope still lingered in his heart, and he determined to make another trial. He now conducted Balaam to Mount Peor, where was a temple devoted to the licentious worship of Baal, their god. Here the same number of altars were erected as before, and the same number of sacrifices were offered. But Balaam went not alone, as at other times, to learn God's will. He made no pretense of sorcery, but standing beside the altars, he looked abroad upon the tents of Israel. Again the Spirit of God rested upon him, and the divine message came from his lips. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of Libanon which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. And the king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. The prosperity of God's people is here represented by some of the most beautiful figures to be found in nature. The prophet likens Israel to fertile valleys covered with abundant harvests, to flourishing gardens watered by never-failing springs, to the fragrant sandal tree and the stately cedar. The figure last mentioned is one of the most strikingly beautiful and appropriate to be found in the inspired word. The cedar of Lebanon was honored by all. The class of trees to which it belongs is found wherever man has gone throughout the earth. From the Arctic regions of the tropic zones, they flourish, rejoicing in the heat, yet braving the cold, springing in a rich luxuriance by the riverside, yet towering aloft upon the parched and thirsty waste. They plant their roots deep among the rocks of the mountains and boldly stand in defiance of the tempest. Their leaves are fresh and green when all else has perished at the breath of winter. Above all other trees, the cedar of Lebanon is distinguished for its strength, its firmness, its under decaying vigor. And this is used as a symbol of those whose life is hid with Christ in God. The divine hand has exalted the cedar as king over the forest. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God. The cedar is repeatedly employed as an emblem of royalty, and its use in Scripture to represent the righteous shows how heaven regards those who do the will of God. The message is clear. Those of us who follow God are represented as the trees of Lebanon. We are recognized as those upon whose hand the hand of God, upon whose lives the hand of God rests eternally. We can be assured that the power of God will rest, will guide, will heal, and will protect those who follow him. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 490 and paragraph 2 says, Balaam prophesied that Israel's king would be greater and more powerful than Agag. This was the name given to the king of the Amalekites, who were at that time a very powerful nation. But Israel, if true to God, would subdue all her enemies. The king of Israel was the son of God, and his throne was one day to be established in the earth, and his power to be exalted above all earthly kingdoms. As he listened to the prophet's words, Balak was overwhelmed with disappointing hope and fear and rage. He was indignant that Balaam could have given him the least encouragement of a favorable response when everything was determined against him. He regarded with scorn the prophet's compromising, deceptive course. The king exclaimed fiercely, Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord has kept thee back from honor. The answer was that the king had been forewarned that Balaam could speak only the message given him by God. Before returning to his people, Balaam uttered a most beautiful and sublime prophecy of the world's Redeemer and the final destruction of the enemies of God. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. That text is a text well known, but it is worthy to understand the context of its mention. Notice it was mentioned by Balaam. Notice when it was mentioned, and notice to what it refers. It refers to a time in our time. Yea, it refers to a time beyond our time, when that star out of Jacob shall be king eternal. We must understand that everything that we find here, everything that we have studied in the Word of God, every experience that the children of Israel have gone through has been recorded so you and I might understand that the hand of God rests upon us as it rested upon them, that the experiences that were given to them will be given to us, that the challenges that they face, we will have to face, that the difficulties that they encounter, we will have to encounter. We must understand, therefore, that the God of Israel that brought the children of Israel through the wilderness is the same God that lives today. He is the same God that rules today. He's the one that expects of us the same that he expected of the children in the wilderness. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 451, and paragraph 2 continues. It says, and he closed by prediction the complete destruction of Moab and Edom, and of Amalek and the Canaanites, thus leaving the Moabitish king no ray of hope. Disappointed in his hopes of wealth and promotion, in disfavor with the king, and conscious that he had incurred the displeasure of God, Balaam returned from his self-chosen mission. After he had reached his home, the controlling power of the Spirit of God left him, and his covetousness, which had been merely held in check, prevailed. He was ready to resort to any means to gain the reward promised by Balak. Balaam knew that the prosperity of Israel depended upon their obedience to God, and there was no way to cause their overthrow but by seducing them into sin. He now decided to secure Balak's favor by advising the Moabites of a course to be pursued to bring a curse upon Israel. Notice the hand of God was removed from him, and he returned to who he was. The covetousness, the need for fame, and he returned to be a Satan servant. What a powerful warning it is for us today as we walk the path in this life. Once we have given our lives to Christ and we have committed ourselves to him, we must ask daily for that strength and that faith that maintains that commitment. We must be careful lest we are drawn aside once more by the power of evil to walk in the path of darkness. We must understand that Satan never completely surrenders, but if we give our lives over to God and we walk with him, we will be protected from the evil that surrounds this world. The children of Israel could not be cursed by Balaam, but the children of Israel were always under the eye of Satan. Now he was about to use the servant who had been called to curse them but could not, to give counsel to lead them astray. We must also be careful that our counsel comes only from God, that we spend time with the Word of God, that we allow our lives to be led by the Holy Spirit so that we might walk according to his will. Today, as you go forward, as we consider our path, let us remember the story of Balaam and his desire for wealth. Let us also remember that if we are encountering those who would seek to destroy and to pervert us in some way, if we are faithful, God will protect. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you place within our availability the word that we might see lessons and learn therefrom. As we go forward today, strength, we ask for your power. We ask that you would continue to give us all that we need so that we might walk according to your will in every detail. In Jesus' name, amen. This has been Morning Manna, July the 31st, 2017. We're happy to have you back again, and we look forward to talking with you day by day. God bless.